Stay tuned. Stay tuned for Bob and Yart Live. But first, welcome to the Denver Bible Church Update, where we bring you an excerpt from this week's Sunday night Bible study on Colossians, and specifically the deity of Christ. So join us now for our Denver Bible Church Sunday night Bible study in progress.
So first, the deity. You know, there are many standard proof texts for Christ's deity, which we won't repeat here. But in our first study on John's Gospel, we analyzed Christ's message, the things he said, as being extremely self-focused. So much so that the things he said could only rightly be said by God. If you're not God, you can't say these things. For example, he said, "Follow me," 19 times. Not follow God, follow me. "Leave your family or even be killed for my name's sake." Could you imagine Moses saying that? Or Michael the archangel? "Be killed for my sake." It's too weird. Jesus said, "Believe in the Son. Believe in Jesus. Believe in me." Okay, believe in God, but believe in me? Could Moses say that? Or Elijah? "You are sanctified by faith in me. Abide in me." Abide in me? "I, Jesus, will abide in you." Implying omnipresence. How could Moses abide in me? He can't. How could an angel? He can't. He's not omnipresent. But Jesus could live in me. He said, "I never knew you. Depart from God." No, he said, "Depart from me. Confess me. Do not deny me. Love me more than your own family members." How could anyone insert himself between a child and his parents? That would be perverse. Unless it was God himself. God could say, "Love me more than your parents. Be worthy of me. Come to me. I will give you rest. My yoke is easy. I am greater than the temple, greater than Jonah, greater than Solomon." Notice Jesus is talking all about himself. "I am Lord even of the Sabbath." Jesus calls the angels his angels. The kingdom is his kingdom. The church is my church. The believers are his sheep. And they are his elect. To men, he says, "Keep my commandments." Oh, they're his commandments. They're his commandments. "Keep my word. My peace I give." Notice, not "God's peace I give to you," but "my peace I give. That in me you may have peace. My joy should fill you." And he focused on himself. "Who do men say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" He said, "Receive me, come after me, live in me. Where two or three are gathered, there am I in the midst of them." Again, showing his omnipresence ability. "My words will never pass away. You belong to Christ." And on and on and on, the focus of his message was me, 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 me. That is completely inappropriate for any created being, but only appropriate for God. Where the Old Testament hundreds of times says, "Thus saith the Lord," the New Testament never once says that, but over 100 times Jesus says, "I say unto you," with the same authority as the Jehovah of Hebrew Scripture.
This is Pastor Bob Enyart of Denver Bible Church inviting you to visit us this Sunday for our lively Sunday school class at 9:30 in the morning, or our worship service at 11 o'clock, or our Sunday night Bible study in Colossians at 6. We meet at 6200 West Hampton, right near Hampton and Wadsworth. Call us for directions at 303-463-1707, or get them on the web at denverbiblechurch.org. Just go to denverbiblechurch.org or give us a call, 303-463-1707. Again, you're invited. I'm cordially inviting you this Sunday morning or evening. Hey, our adult Bible study at Denver Bible Church, lively is the right word for it. It's a lot of fun. We're going through the Gospel of Matthew. We're in chapter 11, and we think you'll love it.
One warning, and there's truth overhead.
brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number, 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. So now the Philadelphia Boy Scouts have caved in. Not all the thousands of Boy Scouts in Philadelphia, not the kids themselves, but their board of directors has voted to accept homosexuals as scoutmasters. Just great. Now the Philadelphia Boy Scouts are vulnerable to sexual molestation since they will allow homosexuals as scoutmasters. And how about when they go on camping trips? And what tents do they sleep in? How do they do that? They got to have separate tents for the homosexual scoutmasters, perhaps? And do they allow them to sleep in the same tent overnight in the dark with young boys? Maybe they only get to sleep with the homosexual boys who are now to be permitted in Philadelphia's Boy Scout troops. Now, this has happened in Boston and in San Francisco, where the Boy Scout organizations there have parted ways with the National Boy Scouts of America to accept homosexual scoutmasters. And homosexuality is perverse. It's wrong. It's a sin. It's destructive. And it's also unworkable. So what do you do with a homosexual scoutmaster on a camping trip? Are you going to allow him to sleep in the same tent with a couple young boys? Because if you are, of course, then you might as well let men go with the Girl Scouts and sleep in the tents with the girls. Now, of course, that would be wrong. Why would that be wrong? It's obvious that would be wrong to have men go into a girls' locker room with a girls' volleyball team. That would be wrong because men are attracted to women. And so you don't have men go into a high school girls' locker room. And similarly, if a man says he's attracted to men, then that man should not be allowed into a high school boys' basketball team locker room or shouldn't be allowed in a tent with a boy as a scoutmaster. And what that points out is the fundamental problem with homosexuality. Homosexuality is brokenness. It's broken. It's bent. That's why the term for heterosexual people is somewhat appropriate. Straight. It's the straight and narrow. You know, Jesus said most people are on the road to hell, a very wide road. And it's narrow. Narrow is the way. The straight and narrow. My son, my oldest teenage boy, Josiah, living with my brother, working for my brother's business in New Jersey, Josiah said to me a week ago, he said, "Dad, there's usually only one way to do something right, and there are thousands of ways of doing it wrong." I said, "Good point, Josiah. What a good point." As we watch young people all around us self-destructing for so many reasons. And now in Philadelphia, you got the Boy Scouts that have said, you know, the Boy Scouts have been under just this horrendous pressure all over the country from not only homosexual groups, but, you know, liberal, godless groups like the ACLU, atheist, name the group, libraries, government, liberal governments, county levels who won't any longer allow the Boy Scouts to use their library. But NAMBLA, the North American Man-Boy Love Association, the group that their purpose for existing is to encourage men to have sex with young children, sex by 8 or it's too late, is one of their slogans. NAMBLA, oh, they can meet at a public library, no problem. No, but the Boy Scouts, forget that. So if it's the homosexuals against the Boy Scouts, watch out. Your local United Methodist Church, they will side with the homosexuals against the Boy Scouts when it comes down to that. I just picked United Methodist because, well, they deserve it. But the Boy Scouts are in trouble. And the sad thing is that, you know, when our country's under attack, it's nice to have somebody in the White House who's willing to defend us against terrorists, Islamic terrorists. But the Boy Scouts are under attack by homosexuals, and there's not a Republican, conservative, Christian leader in the country who has the guts to say homosexuals should not be in the Boy Scouts, and we have to defend the Boy Scouts. It seems like it's not going to happen. Because I'm glad that George W. Bush has the courage to go up against Osama bin Laden. But I tell you, he's scared silly about going against homosexuals. It's either that or he thinks there's no reason to go against them. I'm not sure which it is, really. If he's just scared to death of the homosexuals who have such political influence in our country. I don't know if he's afraid of speaking out against them or if he thinks that homosexuals are fine. After all, sadly, George W. Bush appoints homosexuals to high public office. And he's proud of it. I don't know if you call that gay pride or what, but that's messed up. 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. USA Today today cover story about all the homosexual programs on TV and on cable, and even this X-Men 2, is that what it's called, X-Men 2 sequel, where the director of X-2, X-Men United, the director of this movie is a homosexual. His name is Bryan Singer. And let's see, X-2's gay director, Bryan Singer, said a major scene in the movie is a sort of coming out scene where one of the mutant kids goes back to his parents to come out to tell them that he's a mutant. Because they didn't know. Yeah, right. They grew up, they didn't know. And the mother is meant to be like a Christian idiot. And she says, well, can't you just, have you tried not being a mutant? Listener supported radio right here, Bob and Yart Live. The phone number that you can call into the show is the same number you could use to reach us for our materials. This is a live commercial break, and you can call us at 1-800-8-NYART to check out our videos. You'll enjoy these videos. In fact, you could subscribe to one a month, delivered to you automatically, starting with Mount Moriah, the evidence for the resurrection. And then you get God and the death penalty, New Testament support for capital punishment. And then how about this, a Bible tour of Israel. Somebody called me up today and said, this a bookkeeper for goes to a local Nazarene church, and said, Bob, I'd like to get some of those Bible Tour of Israel videos you guys have. I have some plans for them. And then get out of the matrix. Bob versus a college philosophy class and their professor. An hour and 20-minute video, a debate about right and wrong. Does right and wrong exist? Is there such a thing as truth? Boy, that's a fun video. And then live from Las Vegas, where we debate a dozen conventioneers at the convention center, of course. And then morality, why God forbids sexual immorality. You can get one of these videos or sign up for our monthly, our video subscription by calling us at 1-800-8-NYARDS. That's 1-800-836-9278. Or you can go online, visit us at kgov.com. That's kgov.com. And check out the store in the top right of the webpage. Click on online shopping, subscriptions, and there you have it, our monthly video subscriptions. They are fun. And not only that, you can, if you're interested in studying the Bible, you can check out our Bible study albums online. We have, what, 35, 36 Bible study albums? And you can look at the descriptions. Basically, we go through the books of the Bible, and then we have some topical albums like Predestination and Free Will, the Creation, the Fall, the Flood, the Exodus story. And you get all the way out to the other end of the Bible, the book of Revelation. These are fun Bible studies. And the last days, you know, the fascination people have with the end times and sorting out what's said about the last days and prophecy and what we can really know. So either check us out on the web at kgov.com or give us a call at 1-800-836-9278. Welcome back, Bob and Yart Live, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. So this USA Today today, right here, got it in my hands right here. They're talking about this movie out, Nemo. Their cover story has all these examples of homosexual characters in brand new movies and TV series. And then the sidebar story about Nemo says this family movie, Nemo, a family movie, has taken in $70 million in a weekend. And they say family movies produce so much movie. And why doesn't Hollywood make more family movies? Let's go to the phones at 1-800-836-9278 in Denver, Colorado. Michelle, speak your mind.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, ma'am.
Good. I just wanted to make a comment, you know, about the homosexuality. We all know that it's wrong.
Yeah.
Love the person, hate the sin. I just don't want people to forget that.
Well, let me understand that now. Let's say it's Judgment Day.
Okay.
And God is there, and we're all there on Judgment Day, and there is an unrepentant homosexual in front of us, and it's Judgment Day.
Yes.
And that's when many people go to hell, some people go to heaven. And so will God say, love the sinner, hate the sin, and just put his sin in hell, but let the unrepentant homosexual into heaven?
I don't know. Do you think that if they accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior and they truly mean that in their heart, what do you think that God's going to say? I can't answer your
All right,
question.
Michelle, that's a valid topic to discuss, the one you just brought up.
Yes.
Like, how about a Christian who still struggles with sin? That describes every
all of us.
Every Christian.
Yes.
But that's not what I said. I'm talking about an unrepentant, someone who's not a Christian. He's a typical homosexual activist who hates Jesus Christ.
Okay,
hates
then he
God.
Stayed in sin, and he never seeked. And if you don't seek, you won't find.
Yeah,
and hopefully, you know, prayfully that they find the light and they find what's right. It is written.
All right.
I mean,
Michelle,
we know that it's wrong.
But I want to see if you come to an answer to this question.
I'm going to try.
So this unrepentant homosexual on Judgment Day, he's there standing in front of you, in front of God.
I can answer your question.
Well, is God going to follow your advice and hate the sin, love the sinner, and send the sin to hell, but let the homosexual into heaven?
No.
No.
He's going to have to repent.
And since he died, it's too late.
Right.
And so you can't send the person's sin to hell. God sends the person to hell because it's the person who's evil.
Right. So let's pray for them all.
Well, absolutely.
The other thing I will say real quick on the TV, you know, we have choices And our choices are to watch the TV shows or not watch the TV shows.
Yeah.
You know, and we need to shut these things out of our life. It's a choice. And it's called discipline. We have to discipline ourselves to do the right thing. And people aren't doing that nowadays.
Well,
and it's just, I'm sorry.
Michelle, no, that's right. My 17-year-old son, Nathaniel, he's the show engineer tonight. And we could ask him, which of the primetime TV shows does our family watch? And his answer will be none.
Yes.
And which have we watched in the 17 years of his life? And the answer is none. We don't watch these. But
it's horrible.
There are tens of millions of young people in America, and older ones for that matter, that watch all this filth, and the filth becomes a part of their life. So it shouldn't even be permitted to have entertainment where you have sexual immorality and sexual perversion as part of the entertainment.
You are right. And every channel you turn to, it's sex.
Yeah.
It's all about sex. And
Toshiba copiers, they're using like sex to sell their copiers and some TV ads we see during the news.
Right.
And it just makes me hate Toshiba.
These are our choices. Are we going to choose to let that in, or are we going to choose to keep that out of our life? We're the spoiled brats, from God. I mean, people in other places have it so bad.
Michelle, does it say in the Bible somewhere, can I find hate the sin, love the sinner?
God is love.
I
try to love everybody.
Michelle,
I pray every day that I love people the way that Jesus loves
Michelle,
the children.
You keep answering someone else's questions.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to.
All right, you must be listening to another talk show in the background. I ask you a question, you answer it differently. Does it say somewhere in the Bible, hate the sin, love the sinner?
I'm not word for word. I don't know if it's written like that.
Oh. Yeah, because I've been...
Can you answer that question?
Well,
you can.
I've been looking for that verse now for 30 years. I've been a Christian.
Okay.
And I can't find it, but, of course we love our neighbor and the unbeliever. We love the unbeliever, and we especially love him enough to share the gospel with him and to help him when he's hurting. But on the other hand, we can't emasculate the gospel of Jesus Christ, because Jesus was pretty tough on those who were unrepentant. Mm-hmm. And those who bragged about their vile wickedness, the apostles and the prophets, they were pretty tough and harsh with them. And we can't be so dainty that we take all the firmness out of the gospel.
Right.
So,
no, you're right.
Hey, Michelle, thank you for calling.
Thank you. God bless.
Really appreciate that. 1-800-836-9278. Bob and Yurt Live. I get to be the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Just thrilled about that. Let's go to Golden, Colorado. Mike, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob. Thanks for your show. I really enjoy it.
You're welcome.
I just had a quick comment. I wanted to ask you about 55-mile-an-hour speed limit and your view of prophecy. But anyway, as far as Bush goes, hopefully he's just a baby Christian. And I also think maybe Franklin Graham is a mentor. I know he gave the prayer at the inaugural address, so hopefully there's some hope there.
Well, George W. Bush became a Christian during his dad's bid for presidential politics.
Early 90s.
And his dad was asked by, I think it was Jerry Falwell, if you were to die tonight, where would you go? And this was in his, George Bush Sr. was trying to get the Christian vote. That's why he was talking to Jerry Falwell. Mm. And he said, well, I like to hope that because I'm a good man, I like to hope that I'll end up in heaven. And so all the bells went, the red sirens, lights went off, and the conservative Christian said, oh, no, George Bush Sr., it's not a Christian. He doesn't know what it means to be born again. And so right away, Billy Graham came in, who's been a friend of every American president, and even said that when Bill Clinton got off out of office, he should maybe be an evangelist.
Oh, boy.
But anyway, they pulled Billy Graham in to give political consulting for the Bush family so that they don't make another, snafu like that and say, well, I hope I'll get to heaven because I'm a good guy. And that's the weekend, I hope, supposedly, the story goes, when George Bush Jr. became a Christian.
Okay, well, that's good background information to have. That helps me. And, yeah.
All right. So, all right, so what else you want to talk about?
Well, the other night you were talking about 55-mile-an-hour speed limit.
Yeah.
And if you're going 56 or 57, is it a sin? And
right.
I don't know if you gave the answer or not, but I didn't hear it, and I'd be interested in...
Sure. When, you know, the Bible says to fathers regarding family life, fathers, do not provoke your children.
Mm-hmm.
And we can make an application of that to the government also. The government should not provoke its people. So that just because the government passes a law doesn't mean the law is good or right or just. Now, as a general principle in the Bible, we should obey the government.
Right.
But there are circumstances in which the godly men of the Bible disobeyed the government and God praised them just wonderfully because of their disobedience of the government when it was corrupt or evil.
Mm-hmm.
So if the government tells you that you can't love your neighbor, or that you have to support abortion or something, those are appropriate times to disobey the government.
Right.
When it tells you to do something evil, you should disobey. Now, if the government just passes laws that are not inherently evil, but they provoke you because they pass thousands of laws of which it's so hard to understand them all. And even if you understand them, many of them contradict. And then some of the laws are so unnatural and have nothing to do with right and wrong that it becomes virtually impossible to keep them.
Mm-hmm.
So the speed limit is one example. It's almost humanly impossible to drive the speed limit.
Right.
In many places. And what the government is doing there is they're provoking people because so 95% of all drivers at such and such a location are speeding. And so what the government is doing is it's teaching people to disrespect the authority of the government and the laws.
Right.
And so in that circumstance, it would be wrong for a Christian parent to teach your child, if you're going over the speed limit, you're sinning.
Okay.
Because then your kid will say, well, what's the sense? I'm sinning all the time. I sin when I'm not even thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, we teach our children, if you drive recklessly through a neighborhood and you're going 50 miles an hour through a neighborhood where kids are on tricycles in a residential neighborhood, not only is it a crime, but it's wrong and it's a sin. You can't be negligent with your resources.
Well, that's good. I tend to get maybe a little legalistic, and sometimes that's okay. Well, you know, with those first examples you were talking about. But then with a speed limit, my wife says, well, if you don't go with the flow of traffic, you're putting people in danger, you know.
That's true.
And I'm thinking, no, I'm a Christian. I'm going to follow the law. So this has helped to set me free because...
And yeah, Mike, and you know what it does, really? It puffs us up.
Mm-hmm.
Because 99% of the people are going a normal speed, and we are almost causing an accident going 55 exactly and thinking we're better than everyone else. See, that's what legalism does. The Bible warns that legalism puffs you up.
Yeah. Well, boy, that's good. I think I'm going to try and get your plot. I'm just going to have to try and find time to read it because you've got so many interesting insights. I've been a Christian since 1980 or so. But,
well, congratulations. Hey, Mike, the plot has a whole chapter on this topic.
Okay.
And for those who don't want to read a manuscript, we have an album, an audio tape album called The Tree of the Knowledge of Good and Evil. And it is so much fun. And then if you're going to get the plot, we could skip the last day's prophecy because that's in there too.
Okay, well, I just have to know real quick, do you kind of basically agree with Hal Lindsey's scenario of the end times, the rapture?
Well,
first,
I'm saved by the bumper. Live commercial break right here. This is Bob Enyart, and we're doing a live commercial. And I was just asked by Mike and Golden if I agree with Hal Lindsey's eschatology. And we had Hal Lindsey on the show, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago? That was fun to have him here. I read his late, great Planet Earth many years ago. We talked about his book, Satan is Alive and Well on Planet Earth. But we hesitate to get into detailed doctrinal debates on the air because then the unbelievers who tune in will tune out so quickly. So here's what we do. We've got a Bible study album, 7 tapes called The Last Days. That's a lot of fun, The Last Days. We also have 2 albums on the book of Revelation, teaching through the whole 22 chapters of the book of Revelation. And you could listen to those by calling us and ordering them at 1-800-8-NYART. Or you could go online to kgov.com and read a description of each of the albums on the store, kgov.com. Click on the shop online icon and see what these are about. But you know what I suggest? If you like to read, go ahead and splurge. It costs a lot. It's not inexpensive, but the plot manuscript for $49.95 plus shipping and handling, money-back guarantee, 30-day money-back guarantee, you get an overview of the whole Bible to start with. Because Christians debate end times prophecy. Is it, you know, pre-tribulation rapture, post-trib, mid-trib, pan-trib, no-trib, amillennial, premillennial, post-millennial? And you might be an expert on one of those topics. But shouldn't we first be an expert on an overview of the whole Bible? Get the plot of the Bible down, the overview, story of the Bible. And when you start there, when you are comfortable with what the entire Bible says, then you get to the subject of the end times in all the prophecies. Well, the speed limit too. But you get to the end times prophecies and you understand, let's say you're reading from Acts 2 or you're reading from maybe a passage out of Zechariah. And you get the context. You know why the author is saying what he's saying before you even look at the details. You know how those passages will fit into the overall story of the Bible, so you're more well prepared. So give us a call, check out the plot manuscript or on audio tape. Bob Enyart, 1-800-8-ENYART. Now, in a moment, we're going to go to Broomfield, Colorado, but I want to finish up with, hey, Mike, I was saved by the bell.
Yes, you were, so I'm not going to bug you.
Okay, hey, thanks.
The only question is for me, fairly learned in the Bible, you think the best thing for me would get the plot then?
Oh, absolutely, because, and you know, you could... It's about 330 pages, but it starts out with an overview of the whole Bible, works down to the details. We will cover these issues at length, and then we even offer a money-back guarantee. And so you'll find out in a short time whether there's any value in this approach to Bible study or not.
Okay. Could I put in a negative plug for CBS TV?
Go ahead.
Well, anyway, I called you several months ago about them using the four-letter F-word for, you know, their 9/11 special.
Oh, yeah.
And but anyway, this past
They love
Friday,
to do that. They love to use sex, nudity, or profanity under the guise of, well, it was real.
And
it was history.
This past Friday, they had their program, Amazing Race 4, and they featured a married gay couple, and they were... basically proud of it, the article I read on...
No doubt.
Daily, so.
All major media outlets are, even Fox News, even O'Reilly is pro-homosexual. So we're pretty much, even the Boy Scouts in Philadelphia now will have homosexual scoutmasters.
Yeah, that's something.
Hey, we are losing the battle. We do win the war, but we are losing the battle right now.
Could I stay on the line and order the plot? Or?
Oh, yeah, you sure can, Mike. You just made my day. Hold
on. All right.
All right, appreciate that. Bob and Yurt Live, we're a small enough talk show that every order helps tremendously. All right, let's go to Broomfield, Colorado. All Colorado calls tonight. John, speak your mind.
Howdy, how you doing?
Doing well, sir.
I just had a comment. I heard you guys talking about hate the sin but love the sinner.
Yes.
And I was just kind of puzzled by that. I from what I understand what the Bible says, I thought Jesus took away the sins of the world.
So that the world today has no sin?
Well, today, because of what God's done, he doesn't see our sin.
In the whole world?
No, in what he's done in the world, yeah, which took away the sin.
So you're saying that you think that the Bible teaches that there is no sin in the world today?
Well, actually, I know. I don't think.
Oh, you know that?
Yeah. That, oh. I mean, I'm just going according to what Jesus did.
Okay, so according to your understanding of the New Testament, if were to look at any part of it after Christ's resurrection, we would not be able to see any evidence of sin or wickedness or the sins of the flesh or the lust of the flesh. It was all gone. Like if we read in Romans, for example, which was written decades after.
The lust of the flesh is actually the sin. If Jesus said, if you're going to watch out for anything, watch out for the leaven of the Pharisees. It was the Pharisees that he condemned.
But John, the lust of the flesh is also sin.
Well, what does the word flesh mean?
John,
yes,
is it sexual immorality? Is it a sin to be sexually immoral?
Well, the Bible says in I think it's Corinthians, that 23,000 fell because of their fornication. And I believe the fornication was them not trusting in God.
That's in Corinthians?
In Corinthians.
The 23,000 fell.
Yeah, 23,000 perished because of their fornication.
Corinthians doesn't say that. And the way
it's
I know...
Corinthians. It says, because of their fornication, that 23,000 perished in the wilderness. Now, the fornication that I'm talking about is not to trust in God, which allows you to be more intimate with vain imaginations, as opposed to what Jesus Christ did on the cross.
All right. Now, it sounds to me like, okay, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, because I had just gone through 2 Corinthians, but yeah, you're right, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, let us not commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell, where God kills people in the Bible because of sin, right?
Well, one translation says sexual immorality. Another translation says fornication.
Well, the word in the Greek is porneia, right?
Yes.
Which means sexual immorality, and fornication means the same thing.
Which would mean that you would rather put your eyes upon something that is false as opposed to what God has already done.
Well, John, are you saying that since Christ was crucified, that there's no longer sin in the world?
Well, the sin that exists isn't the outward appearance of things, because the appearance of things has been taken,
John,
and been sanctified. Because Peter,
John,
Peter
hey, John, said, John, I'm going to interrupt you. I'd like you to answer. This is a yes or no question.
Okay.
Are you saying that since Christ rose from the dead, that there is no longer sin in the world?
In the world.
You said, yeah, you're saying that.
In this age, yes.
Okay.
The
hey, John,
that I'm
John,
talking about is the outward
John,
appearance.
Listen. Your theology, I realize you think you're right, but we can get hundreds of verses in the New Testament after Christ's resurrection where people are criticized and rebuked because they're sinning. For example, Ananias and Sapphira were killed by God.
Yes.
They were killed by God for lying to the Holy Spirit.
What did they do?
They lied to the Holy Spirit. Is that a sin?
What did they lie about?
I'm not going to answer that. Is it a sin to lie to the Holy Spirit? Yes or no?
When you're supposed to give a
John,
part of something to
John,
God that belongs
John,
to God, yes, it is a sin.
Okay, so did Ananias and Sapphira sin after
when
the resurrection?
About giving a part of the land to God.
Yeah, and they did that after the resurrection.
Yes.
And they reaped the consequences of their sin after the resurrection. So it's silly.
The same sin that Adam did in the garden is the same sin they lied about. And they didn't give back to God.
Hey, John, is it a lie to give a false name?
Yeah, when you're speaking in God's terms, it is.
So if you were to misrepresent yourself with a false name, would that be a lie like Ananias and Sapphira?
According to being under the law, yes, it would be.
Oh, but if you're not under the law. Wait, if you're not under the law, then is it okay to lie?
Lie about what?
Whatever you want to benefit to get to further your own.
So what you're saying is that being obedient to the law will cause God to love you more?
No, John, did I say that?
Yeah, you just said it.
I didn't say that.
Is that a sin? In other words, you're
John,
saying that
listen,
sin is relevant in what I'm gonna, you do or what all right, you don't do.
I'm going to ask you three questions. You can answer yes or no, or I'll hang up on you. Ananias and Sapphira, did they sin after the resurrection?
Of course. Do you?
Was that a yes?
Yes. Do you sin?
Okay. I'm asking the questions. Therefore,
okay, let me ask.
Therefore,
done,
John.
Ask
therefore, was there sin after the resurrection?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. Therefore, here's my third question. Aren't you silly? Third question: yes or no? Go ahead.
Aren't I what? I can't hear you.
Aren't you silly?
Aren't I silly?
Yes. It's a yes or no question.
S-I-L-L-Y, silly?
Yes.
That's real scriptural.
That's not a yes or no answer. I'm hanging up on you. Hanging up on you. Bye. Okay. So anyway, Christians, John is a good example of Christians who major in the minors. Even regardless of the fact that what he's saying is wrong, but John is obsessed with this notion that he has that somehow there's no sin in the world after the resurrection. Now, I could tell you the verses that he'll use to make that argument. And also how he's misunderstood them. In fact, it's in the plot manuscript, the overview of the whole Bible. In fact, our Romans Bible study album. Ah, boy, is that fun. In fact, we got three albums in the book of Romans. And it's so much fun. And John is a little confused about what happened when Adam sinned and then what happened when Christ died. Through one man's disobedience, sin came into the world, and so all died. And through one man's obedience, through one man's righteous act, all were justified. But John, he reads that, and he's confused into thinking that that means there's no sin in the world today. Well, people who are alive today will go to hell. They will end up in the kingdom of darkness. And to think that you can read the New Testament from Acts to the book of Revelation and get the notion that there's no sin in the world, that's ludicrous. That's ridiculous. And maybe what John's trying to say is, well, people do sin, but because of what Christ did, everyone is forgiven for those sins. But that's not true. Christ punishes people for their sins. Paul is mad at one guy, and he hoped that the Lord would repay him according to his works. That was before Judgment Day. The sooner the better, as far as Paul was concerned. So anyway, well, that was an interesting thing. 1-800-8-N-YARDS. It's 1-800-836-9278. That's our phone number. So, you know this Jennifer Lopez, USA Today, today, right here. She's in a movie. She plays a lesbian assassin. Well, there we have a combination. N-YARDS. That's 1-800-836-9278. Bob N-YARD here. And this is a live commercial break, so we invite you to call in during the show, after the show, during the week. We have a small staff, so we don't always man the phones, but you could leave your name and number. We'd be thrilled to get back to you. Or 24 hours a day, go online at kgov.com, kgov.com, and there you can find out, well, these audio albums we have. For example, what does it mean that Adam, in Adam, all died? Why doesn't the Bible say in Eve all died? Because Eve sinned before Adam. But no, all the human race, everyone did not die in Eve. We died in Adam. Why is that? The Bible points that out twice, and both times the Apostle Paul. All died in Adam. We all died in Adam. And then Jesus Christ, by his obedience on the cross, we were all justified Does that mean we all go to heaven, universal reconciliation? No, we were all justified from Adam's sin. So that now the unbeliever who sins and rejects God and does not accept forgiveness, salvation from God, that unbeliever experiences death and goes to hell, not because of Adam's sin, but because of his own sin. Because death came to all of us because of what Adam did. But then what Jesus Christ did brought justification to all of us from Adam's sin. You see, that's the little clarification that should be real clear to anyone reading that portion of Scripture. But if someone has an axe to grind or wants to be confused, he'll think, oh, look at that. The Bible teaches everyone is justified. No, they're not. And John maybe thinks that I'm trying to put Christians under the law. No way in the world. All he has to do is, well, not that he would, but you can. This is a commercial break, by the way. Get our album called The Tree. The Tree is one of the most enjoyable Bible studies we have. 6-hour Bible study, a seminar on audio tape, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then the book of Romans, oh, the greatest theological treatise, and you could get it on audio tape right here. NYARTS, 1-800-836-9278. So we found this verse during the break. I don't know if this is what the earlier caller was referring to. Was that Michelle? This here it says, love the dinner, hate the gin. Is that the verse? Love the dinner, hate the gin. That verse isn't even in the Bible. You know, my producers, you can't always trust them. Look, that's a verse, but it's not a verse from the Bible. Love the dinner, hate the gin. Oh, brother. No wonder the reference didn't look right. Okay. So, yeah, we can be tough on sinners. You know, the Bible is quite often pretty tough on sinners. Pretty tough. Jesus was quite often pretty tough on sinners. And guess what? He wasn't only tough on the Pharisees. He was tough on other sinners also. Just like John the Baptist. You know, the king was an adulterous, incestuous, adulterous sinner. And John the Baptist pointed that out. And the king wasn't a Pharisee. And John the Baptist correctly pointed out his sexual immorality. And John paid for it dearly with his life. Now, you know, being martyred for your faith and for obeying God, that's a bit of a scary thing. And not being beheaded, I have to admit, is a good thing. Not to be beheaded is a good thing if you're not convicted of a capital crime. So not being beheaded is a good thing, but yet Christians sort of chicken out. We need to tell the world that, hey, we're not just living in some big happy hour. This is real. Life ain't no dress rehearsal. And this world is filled with sin to the brim. Where we started out talking about homosexuals who have drained the cup of lust to its dregs. And so now we have this USA Today story. Jennifer Lopez plays the role of a lesbian assassin. Oh, great. In a movie out this summer called Giggly. And then here's a Showtime series, is it? Showtime series, two actresses play two women in a stable relationship trying to have a child. All right. And then we have an actor playing a baseball player who calls a press conference to announce he's a homo. And that show's titled Take Me Out. And then we have, let's see. I don't know who these actors are and actresses, so I'm just skipping their names for the most part. But a show called It's All Relative with a young woman with two daddies. Two daddies. The show is called It's All Relative. And Liz is marrying Bobby. Let's see now. Liz has two men as her parents, two daddies. And Liz is marrying Bobby. His Irish Catholic parents just don't understand. Oh, so Bobby's parents don't understand Liz's two homo parents. Oh, that all makes sense. So that's the kind of fare that's out there for consumption here in America. And we are exporting our filth to the rest of the world. Not that the rest of the world is lacking in its filth. What a shame. All right. Our phone number, 1-800-836-9278. This is Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Joe, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob. What's going on? Hey, I just wanted to talk about that guy I just called named John, I think it was.
Yeah.
His voice is kind of familiar. Well, I used the same scripture quite a bit right before your program.
Ah.
Yeah, I kind of caught on when you said something about, are you lying? Is it a sin to lie to portray yourself as someone else?
Especially to get on to another program and sort of misrepresent what's going on.
Yeah, you know, he's got the same views on his own program, if I could say that. Too late now. Huh?
No, that's fine. Hey, Joe, some people in the Bible lied, and they were blessed by God for lying. Because, for example, if innocent people are being killed and you have to lie to send the Nazis looking in the wrong direction, well, then that's a really good lie. But if you're lying to get some airtime, I don't know that that qualifies. But you know what? It's not a big deal to use a false name.
No. What I was calling on actually a talk show was to ask you about a couple of weeks ago or so, you were talking about someone was looking for a church, and I'm looking for a church right now, too.
Yeah.
I'm up in the north area, and you said there's like 7,000 more of them out there, too. Can you direct me to one?
What, you know where I got that from?
Where's that? Well, the Bible, yeah.
Well, the seven.
I forget which book it is out of.
Well, Elijah. Elijah.
Yeah,
Elijah was so upset because he was the only one who was being obedient to God. And God said, you know, stop feeling sorry for yourself. There are 7,000 others.
So can you direct me to one?
Up north?
Yeah.
So you don't want to come to Denver Bible Church, huh?
I got five kids, and it's kind of hard for us to get ready by the time church.
Why, I feel really bad.
Oh,
I feel rejected.
On.
No, I'm only kidding. Up north, let me recommend one of... How far north?
I live like up in Thorn, like 128th and Holly.
All right, so between Commerce City or Brighton, which would be better?
Oh, let's try Brighton first.
All right, Brighton Harvest.
Okay.
Harvest. You know, I should have their phone number here, but I don't. But Harvest is a neat church with a real good, you know, serious Bible study.
Okay.
And I think you'll enjoy that church.
Great. Yeah.
All right.
That's what I'm looking for. I came from a church that believed in the Bible. It's just so far to go down south. They moved up, and it's just cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Hard for me to get down there.
If in Commerce City, there's a church called Derby Bible Church.
I used to live in Commerce City. I know exactly where it's at.
Oh, you know how the Commerce City used to be called Derby.
Derby, yeah. I used to live in the Derby area right there, but we moved.
Yeah, and so that Derby Bible Church, that's a very good church.
Okay.
So there's
okay, we'll
two.
We'll try that one now.
All right, God bless you.
Thank you very much. God bless you, Bob.
Appreciate the information. Joe called to rat on John. Actually, I'm being a little too tough on John because you call into a show and you use a different name. That's not exactly, you know, that's not a lie. It's just, what is that? Yeah, I don't think that's a big problem, actually. But to say that there's no sin in the world, that's just, Jesse, you got to get real. You just got to get real. You're obsessed. You have a false notion in your head, and you're just obsessed with it. There's no sin in the world? Oh, there's tons of sin in the world. Are there no consequences for sin? There are a ton of consequences. Are people not going to go to hell because of their sin? Plenty of people are going to go to hell. And even the believers are going to have their... believers are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and see so much of their lives burned away as wood, hay, and stubble. And that's going to be sad. But, there's hope for Jesse. Because I'm sure he's a Christian, right? You can't always tell, but I imagine he's a Christian. And so there's hope for him. At least on Judgment Day, he'll be straightened out. 1-800-836-9278. Well, usually we take apologies on the air, so let's go to the phones. John, speak your mind.
It's Jesse. You guys figured it out.
Hi, Jesse.
No, my point is according to the outward things of life that Jesus took away the sins, not the inward sin that exists, because the rejection didn't come but through the Pharisees that rejected Christ. In fact, they even crucified Jesus.
Were the Pharisees the only ones that were criticized by Jesus?
Well, according to what you said Herod.
Well, that was John. But we could go through the Gospels and see Jesus condemning sin in everyone who doesn't believe.
Yeah, but the ones that he came for were the sick.
Everyone. He came for, everyone was sick.
Yeah, but the ones that would only accept him were the ones in need of a physician, the ones who realized they were sick.
Yeah, right. But what's your point about the outward and the inward sin, and the outward sin is not gone, and the inward sin is gone, and it's outside and inside?
What I'm talking about is Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1 talks about the first covenant was of this world. It considered it to be worldly, and the worship that came with it. And God's trying to explain to us now that he resides within us because of what Jesus has done.
Well, if you're a believer, he resides within us.
Yes.
Whether you're a believer or not.
Where's the kingdom of God?
All right. But Jesse, why would you say that there's no sin in the world after Jesus died? Are you just trying to provoke people?
No. But the world I'm talking about is the world that's called, as in the Greek, the cosmos.
Don't give me cosmos, Jesse. Come on, have you studied Greek?
Yes.
All right, quote John 1:1 in the Greek for me.
I'm not telling you what I can quote in the Greek.
Well, that's the easiest quote in the whole New Testament in the Greek. So, quote. You just said you studied Greek.
I studied the word of the world Greek.
I didn't ask you that. I said, did you study Greek?
That's what we're talking about.
Jesse, because if you had studied Greek, you wouldn't make such an embarrassing statement that the world cosmos, therefore that means what you just said.
Yeah, that was the adornment of men. This is where the Pharisees stood and worshiped God and made a big show of what they've done. And God, Jesus Christ, came to expose that this way is irrelevant.
Jesse, if someone ever asks you if you've studied Greek, say no. Say no. That's just some advice from one brother to another. This is Bob Benyert reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.